Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, and now we're back. And joining us is Lynn Buchanan. Thank you for joining us, and appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you for considering me for your program.
Oh, yeah, it's an incredible amount to consider there. You're fantastic. Now let's start with some of your history before we get into the meat of it. Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, I was in the military, and I was doing programming over in Germany for listening post that we had, listening to Russia and East Germany and all that. And I was asked to do a special program that was going to tie together the computers and the listening posts of 12 different countries. This other sergeant wanted to do the job, but I got it awarded to me. And right as I was to present the thing after it was done, all the generals and all that from 12 different countries came in. He had jimmied the computer program while I was out, and when it crashed, when I started to show it crashed, and he pointed and said, "Gotcha." Oh. And I have, since I was around 12 years old, I've always had problems with if I get mad, things happen around me, things break, and so forth. And I got flaming mad, and all of a sudden, the entire field station just went kablooey.
Wow. We'll try not to get you mad.
Yeah, I try to stay happy all the time. One of the officers there knew what a PK event was, psychokinetic event, and knew that all of the electronic equipment, especially the very sensitive stuff that they have, is subject to that. And he reported me. A couple of months later, the commander of the U.S. Intelligence and Security Command came out there to install a new base commander where we were, and he called me into his office and he said, "Did you kill my computers with your mind?" And I thought, what a crazy question. I knew the answer was yes, but I could see myself paying for computers, you know, my grandkids paying for computers. And so I was going to lie about it, and I kind of heard myself say, "Yes, sir, I did." And he said, "Far effing out if I ever got a job for you." He took me back to D.C. to start a unit where we would destroy enemy computers with the hopes that we could learn to control the information in them so we could, you know, send their missiles into the ocean and things like that. And Congress wouldn't fund it. And so He took me out to a remote viewing unit that was out at Fort Meade and put me in there. And I just took to it like a duck to water. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so that's where I stayed the rest of my military career.
Wow. So now this was very secret, right? This is like a secret military.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. In fact, it was even kept secret from the military and from the government customers who used it. They would ask for intelligence information, and we would turn in information reports on, you know, as sort of eyewitness reports or things like that, or open source information reports. And when people got to know and associate our name with what we were doing, our project would end, it would be scrapped completely, and the next day we'd go back under the name of a new project and just continue working. So yeah, we were kept even secret from the government.
Oh, so do you think, well, Congress or Senate or even the president wouldn't know, or do you think they did?
Oh yeah, they knew. Those who needed to know knew. Those who didn't need to know, that's why we, you know, kept changing names and all that. Yeah, but the president was always briefed on us. When the helicopter crashed in Iraq, our information that it crashed got to the president 10 minutes before the electronic notice came through and went up the chain of command. So we turned the information in first before even the, you know, they could report it over the radio.
Wow. How does that affect you as in your day-to-day living, as in family and friends and that? Did they know at the time? Did you keep it secret?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't tell my family or anything, you know. And my church group, they would say, you know, what do you do? And I'd say, oh, I program computers, because that was largely a part of my MOS, method of service. I was a Russian linguist computer scientist, was my method of service on paper.
So nobody else really knew, except for, I guess, people that were involved.
That's right, yeah. And our most dedicated customers who knew what we could do, you know, they were kept apprised of it. But anytime the word got around, then all of a sudden our project would be scrapped. It was over, you know. Nobody's doing that kind of stuff anymore. And like I say, we'd go to work the next day with a brand new cover name.
Yeah. So where did it go from there? Like after you, did the service just end and did you just retire from it?
I retired from it about 2 years before this last time when they scrapped the whole project. People ask me if, you know, if they still have another project going like that under another name, and I really don't know. I hope so. I think they would be stupid not to, but of course that raises the question as to whether our government ever does anything stupid or not.
You know? Can't answer that one, eh?
I'm afraid I already know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's ongoing. So do you think they actually then stopped it? Why would they scrap it, but is it just a cover?
Well, no, there was actually a good reason to really honestly scrap it, and that was at the end of the Cold War, funding was just being cut severely right and left, especially on intelligence services. And many of the old more experienced ground spies, ground agents, and all that, just had no funding, no jobs. And so if the, you know, if the funding question was to dump those crazy psychics out at Fort Meade or keep a good 007 spy, you know, then shoot, I'd dump the psychics out at Fort Meade too.
So how do you go about doing this? I guess it's pretty hard to explain in an interview, but
yeah, you can't do this in a soundbite. Basically, this whole process is not in and of itself psychic. Has basically nothing to do with being psychic. Everyone does tend to have some psychic ability. But the trouble is that it only happens, you know, when your daughter's in an accident and all of a sudden you know it and you, you know, or someone dies and things. So it's only available to most people during crises. And for those people who have an easy time with the psychic ability, they tend to be one, at its control rather than controlling it, and two, they tend to be, I don't know, how's a nice way to say this? let me just end that right there.
No, I think I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah. But the military doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
The military wants everything uniform, and it wants everything sensible and plain, easy for anybody to understand, and so on. So there was a guy named Inga Swan in New York who devised a way to use the body. He was looking at martial arts. He devised a way to use the body to act as a translator between the conscious and the subconscious minds. Well, it's your subconscious level that does anything psychic, not your conscious level. And he found that when you can set up a line of communications, like in an interview and report, okay, You can interview your subconscious, ask it questions, find out what it knows, and then report the answer. And so the remote viewing that he invented was actually nothing more than a interview and report process using the body as, you know, in a martial arts way, as sort of a connector between the conscious and subconscious. The remote viewing itself is only access to your subconscious, which knows things. It's not in and of itself psychic at all.
Right. So how is it that you explain that the subconscious knows things? Is there, or are the subconsciouses connected somehow? Or,
well, you know, everybody has their own explanation and their own belief system and all that.
Right.
The fact that I've found is that nobody knows.
Right. I mean,
you know, they come up with all these fancy explanations. Some of them deal with spirit guides. Some of them deal with holograms in the universe, and some deal with, you know, alien beings from the planet Scooby-Doo or whatever. Nobody knows. It seems to just be part of our being.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I agree. I interview a lot of people in the business, and there's some people that have all the answers, and that's the ones I don't trust as much.
Yeah.
You know. When they give me all these answers about how you're supposed to do things, it's almost become superstition.
Or religion.
Or religion, yeah. And that's what it is. I mean, in a way, it's a replacement or an enhancement of someone's religion. So,
yeah, and that's one of the things I liked about the military method was it was a science. You go, you get trained in it, you learn it. It's a step-by-step method that you do. You use martial arts methods to train your body to respond to subconscious awareness, and you know, in different ways, and you actually train it with sort of like the wax on, wipe off type stuff. You know, we trained for months and months and months, and never quit training. And as a result, we'd go to work, we'd do what everybody would call miracles for 8 hours a day, and then we'd go home and watch TV, mow the grass, and you know,
a job like anything else.
Yeah, I like that. In fact, when I got out of service, and 2 years after I got out of service, and they declassified the remote viewing effort, people found out that I had been the trainer in the unit, and they started contacting me for training. And everybody was talking about, well, ETs and all these different authors. Zachariah Sitchin and all those, I had no idea what they were talking about. You know, I was a soldier who went to work every day, and I was a soldier who went to work. Try this just a minute.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I was a soldier who went to work every day and did a job. And went home. I never even looked at any of that stuff, or even knew who Zachariah Sitchin was. So it was totally foreign to me. And all of a sudden, here were all of these people. I was getting like 80 requests for training a day, and some of the people that would call and talk to me on the phone. I kind of started getting paranoid about, you know, some of these people are on the street and walking through Walmart with me. And it's kind of scary at times.
I find that anyway when I walk through Walmart.
Yeah.
So, now the Russians were doing this as well, weren't they?
Yes, in fact, they were doing it first. That's why we started doing it. A man named Pankowski, who had evidently been involved in some of this, tried to defect, and he got some of the Russian paperwork and documentation over to the U.S. And, of course, everybody had a good laugh about that. Oh, Russians are using psychics, you know, and then they started actually reading and found out, yeah, but they're getting our secrets. And so they thought, well, if the Russians are using it and it works for them, maybe we better at least look into it. And so they started searching around for psychics and giving them, you know, targeting them with top secret information and not letting them know that, you know, what it was. And one guy named Joe McMonagle not only perfectly described the M1A1 Abrams tank, but actually drew pictures of the interior of it and highly accurate pictures, and didn't even know what he was working on. And so with Joe's session on that, they thought, maybe there's something to this. Maybe we ought to at least start a pilot project and find out. And so they did, and it wound up being a military unit in the military.
Yeah, that's amazing. So now in the process, you're not actually, I should start. A lot of people that talk about remote viewing talk about it in the sense of more the psychic, like they leave their body and they go somewhere else and they watch people.
Yeah.
Now, and, that's not the way it is with you, is it?
No. when the information came out that the military had been using remote viewers, of course it hit the newspapers with, you know, psychic spies and all this, but nobody told what it was. And there were actually reporters going around D.C. looking for big palm signs on lawns for, you know, Madame Minerva, the palm reader,
yeah.
And asking her what remote viewing was. And so anyway, the information that came out was bogus. And all of a sudden, the message that got through to everybody on the Internet was, oh, this has been scientifically proven that psychic works. And so all of a sudden we had crystal ball remote viewers and palm remote viewers and tea leaf remote viewers and, you know, people who had no idea about the science of controlled remote viewing and just started calling themselves remote viewers. And so even at present, I would say close to 90% of everything you find on the Internet about remote viewing is just totally bogus, has nothing to do with remote viewing at all.
Yeah. I sort of look at it, I hate to say it, but for the most part, most of it's entertainment.
Yeah. Well,
it's, you know, what it should be.
Well, it should be, yeah. A lot of... I think, in fact, most of the people who are calling themselves remote viewers are doing so honestly. They're not trying to cheat people. They really think that remote viewing is psychic. When it's not, it's just a scientific process.
Yeah. So how do you define yourself differently from that then?
Thing that Inga Swann invented, he called coordinate remote viewing. Now, when that information came out, then everybody started calling themselves coordinate crystal ball remote viewers, and, you know. And so Inga said, okay, what is one thing that nobody in this field wants to be called? So he called it controlled remote viewing. And that's what we use. And the fact is that most people think, oh, the remote viewer is controlled by all these protocols and all. When actually, what it actually means is that the remote viewing is controlled by the viewer. And so, so the people who are, you know, into crystal balls and going into trances and all that, they don't want to be controlled, so they shy away from that name.
Yeah. So now, is this something that's developed more since you've been in it, in the science side? Is it something that people can control other people's minds or start to do things?
Okay, that's two questions.
Yeah.
Yes, it has developed. Once it came out of the laboratory, because it was tested very thoroughly at Stanford Research Institute before it was actually given to the military. And once it was put into operations in the military, then it really grew. And now that it's become over into the civilian arena with civilian applications, we're learning how to do other things that were not required by the military, you know. So yes, it has developed. As far as getting into other people's minds and all that, yes, you can do that. With training, you can do it clearly and accurately. Without training, you can't. It's advanced stuff, and what a lot of people think of as remote control or remote influencing is sort of where you get into someone's mind at the subconscious level and you try to persuade them, it would better be called remote persuasion. You try to persuade them at the subconscious level to be healthier, to cure themselves, or to change policies, or to, you know, listen to other reasoning and so forth. It is not at all remote control where you just control a person. But yes, it is possible, sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you sort of put this, is it some way connected to hypnosis?
The remote persuasion, I think, really is. Now, the Russians have developed what they call hypnosis at a distance, where they really, really go into this, and they've had quite a bit of success at it. In the military unit, we were absolutely forbidden to do what was called any active mental work, and that is, the remote persuasion and all that. But, of course, that was limited to U.S. citizens. Now, if you weren't a U.S. citizen, you were fair game. But, you know, a lot of people think, oh, the remote viewers got into my mind and they messed my mind up and all that. No, we never did any active mental work. It was all passive. We went and we got intelligence information, reported that up the chain of command to the intelligence services, and that was it.
And so how does this affect you as in your own spiritual side, or did it change?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Change any of your beliefs or thoughts?
It will. One of the things that you learn first, in fact, one of the milestones we look for in training is when you realize that time is not what you were told in school. Time is totally different. But other than that, what makes a greater impact is the fact that if you can ask your subconscious what's going on halfway around the world and it tells you, it can also tell you why you do those things that you don't want to do, but you wind up doing them anyway. Why you don't do the things you want to do, but you wind up not doing them. And why you're really angry about something or why you're really scared about something. And it can do in 1 hour what will take a psychiatrist, 5 years on his couch to do.
Well, yeah, but he's making a lot of money.
Well, yeah. And by doing it this way, you're saving a lot of money, too.
Yeah. He doesn't want an instant fix here. He wants to...
Yeah.
Now, I've heard you explain this, and I think you did it really well. So I have to ask about the idea of getting into something like figuring out the lottery winning numbers and things like that. And for a lot of the listeners, that's going to be a very common question I get.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought I'd throw it at you.
There were actually about 18 different forms of controlled remote viewing that were created out at Stanford Research. One of them was called associative remote viewing, and this works really well. In fact, we did this on a radio program over in Ireland and had 27,000 people participate and correctly predicted the stock market for the next day.
Wow.
What you do is numbers and letters and things like that are human constructs. They're not real. They're not really things, they're constructs. And so they're very hard to view. However, something like your taste, smell, things like that, this you're using your body as the go-between. And so if you were to say, view the number on the first ball on the pick three lottery at 7:30 tonight, people would be stuck for it because that's a human construct. But if I were to say to you, at 10 o'clock tonight, tell me what you taste. And then I make a list and I say, if a zero comes up on the ball, I'm going to let you taste vinegar. If a one comes up on the ball, I'm going to let you taste sugar. If a two comes up on the ball, I'm going to let you taste coffee, and so on through the numbers. Then, knowing that whatever I give you is going to reflect what was on the ball, what number was on the ball, I tell you, move to 10 o'clock tonight and tell me what you taste. Oh, I taste coffee. Oh, I know that a two will have been on the ball. And so by doing it that way, I give you something easy to view that is associated with something hard to view. And it works very well. One of my students tried this out and went into it. And he called back in a couple of weeks and he said, hey, I just won the pick three lottery, got, I think, $200 or something like that. And he called back a couple of weeks later and he said, I did it again. And he was all excited. After about three times of that, he never called back. And so I saw him at a conference several years later and I said, how's that working for you? And he got really kind of nervous, and he said, oh, well, I don't do that anymore. And he sort of excused himself very quickly and went and got into his Maserati and drove off. And the analogy that we use is if you find a gold ring in your yard, you're going to tell everybody and your neighbors and all. But if you dig a little deeper and find a chest full of gold, you're not telling anybody. And yeah. This is those with that. We have people who do the lottery or else go to Vegas and do the roulette wheel, and they'll win three or four times and really brag about it, and then they just start making money and they don't tell anybody, you know.
Yeah, they get the system down and...
And the system works.
Wow.
Okay. But the trick is you have to be there at 10 o'clock to give them the taste or else they won't taste anything.
Now, let's talk about you're teaching. You're running a class now, aren't you?
Well, I'm not now. I have trained over 850 people. And five of those people are trained to the point where they are just excellent trainers. Now, I could have started a thing where they worked for me and all that, but I didn't want to do that. They went into business for themselves and they're teaching, and they're doing an excellent job. And so I figured it was time for me to bow out and pass the baton on. And so any requests that I get for training, I send on to them. Now, I'm starting some online training courses, and I'm having some trouble keeping up the quality because it's not face-to-face stuff. So I'm mixing face-to-face stuff over the internet with the online videos and all. And I'm going to be bringing that out this year. Because I really love teaching this. I really love it. But right now, no, I'm not teaching. I'm passing people off to the other people who are teaching and who I trust to teach it correctly.
Right. But do you think there's some bad ones out there?
There are lots of bad people out there who are not bad people, you know. There are people out there who are teaching what they call remote viewing, and it's, excuse the term, it's just crap. It really is. You may have to bleep that one out, but it's just, it's bogus, and they're taking people's money and teaching them this stuff that, one, doesn't work, two, isn't remote viewing at all, and there's just, you know, it's a free country, and so there's no way you can stop it. But yeah, I would say
buyer beware, hey?
Buyer be very aware. There are six people now. The five that I have taught to teaching level, and Paul Smith in Austin, Texas, who is one of our remote viewers who is also teaching. And so there are six people out there that I would recommend for training, and those are the only six. Everybody else, I would just tell people to shy away from them.
Yeah. Do you actually, and when you did it, were you sort of looking at maybe the motive or the reason why someone would want to be trained?
Well, yeah, I always ask people that, and I would get all kinds of answers, anything from just curious to, you know, I want to bring home missing children and all that. One of the things we found was that the people who are just curious about it seem to go further with it. Except for the people who want it for their business purposes. Now, they're going to use it for the rest of their life and, you know, or for the rest of their business life. But one of the things we found is that every time somebody comes with a new interest and a new reason for taking this, we actually find a new application. Back in the military, this was used for spying only. And now then we're finding all of these applications that it's extremely useful for. And so it's still in the development stages, actually.
Is there any people that you had to reject because of something like a reason that they wanted to do it? Or?
I tend to reject very flaky people. there are people that I wouldn't want in my home, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we found is that good, I mean, really honest, good, natural psychics don't need this. Also, there are those who have the one experience, and because of religious background or upbringing or whatever, immediately think that their soul is doomed for hell and no forgiveness, you know, and they go away immediately and don't come back. And the other type that I really don't want, because they can never learn to do this, is the type who lives, breathes, eats everything psychic. You know, everything has a psychic meaning to it. And, you know, there's a spider crawling up the wall. Oh, that means that we should live better as a human race. You know, every crop circle is a message to humanity and all this. No, it's not. It's a crop circle.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what it is. But those people will not have the discernment to follow a pattern and to say, look, I was right here. I was wrong here. Put this into a database. Here's my track record. Here's my average, being right in colors, wrong in colors, correct in taste, incorrect in taste, and so on. And it's very much a science. It depends very heavily on computer databasing. And they're just not going to get it. And so I really don't want to take their money. I'm an old school Texan, you know, you work for your money and you don't take money that you don't earn.
Right. Has there been any people that have really scared you that you've come across?
No, not really, no. You mean as a person or as a as a viewer?
Well, either one. I was going to ask the other, so they're both kind of applicable here.
No, I really don't get scared of people. I have always been able to take care of myself on that level. As far as the viewing, no. I find new things fascinating rather than scary. We've had some good people in here who really learned, and we've had some good natural psychics in here who are here just to learn the controls so they can control their ability. And several of them, I've just sat and watched them work. And, you know, after all these years, I keep thinking, man, on my best day, I could never do that well. But they have talent, and you give them the control over it, and oh, it's amazing to watch.
Yeah. Now there's some reference to you and the Men That Stare at Goats movie.
Yeah, well, people keep asking who George Clooney played in the movie, and of course, his name in the movie, his character's name was Lynn, L-Y-N, just like mine, which is a girl's spelling. And many of the incidents that happened in that movie happened to me. The movie starts off by, you wouldn't believe how much of this is really true. However, he had, the writer had 18 years of incidents to put into a, you know, hour and a half movie. And so things that happened to different people were put into each different character in the movie. General Hapgood was General Stubblebine, but was also a compilation of other events that happened to other people. So was Len Cassidy, George Clooney played. But many of the events that happened to me were played by George Clooney. And some of the incidents that happened to Mel Riley, Paul Smith, Joe McMonagle, and so forth, were also mixed in so that it would fit the story. So he was a compilation. Len Cassidy was a compilation of many characters.
So did you enjoy the movie then, or?
I thought it was great. they filmed part of it out here about 10 miles from my home and never let me onto the set. Because, you know, basically it was just just making fun of everything we did. But it was funny and it was well done. And shoot, if they had let me onto the set, I could have told them a bunch of funnier stuff than that. So, but yeah, it was a funny movie. The things that actually did happen, they portrayed truthfully. And of course, then they put it into the background story, which is all made up. But they showed things very truthfully. In fact,
yeah. Is there any big things that you discovered by doing this that you can talk about?
Well, yeah, I discovered myself actually. You can't do this without dipping into your subconscious, and your subconscious knows you better than anybody else, and you better become friends with it. And in fact, you're exposed to it so much that you do become friends with yourself. But there were some military things that have been since declassified. What was called a death ray over in Russia. The plans and intentions of foreign leaders. We did a lot of work on scientific developments in foreign countries. Down to even, you know, sometimes drawing schematics and things. And so, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that has been declassified and, in fact, is available now throughout the Internet, but also in, you know, by applying to the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of doing it. I'm finding most people, even journalists, aren't really spending much time researching anymore.
Yeah, I know, and that's kind of sad. I was at 9/11, Lower Manhattan on 9/11, and was watching the news. We were trapped there on the island, and the different restaurants would have the their televisions sitting outside so people in the street could watch. And the news coverage was just terrible. They were reporting things that never happened, and there needs to be more professionalism and things like that.
Yeah, they make a lot of mistakes and they say a lot of things without researching, and it's kind of too bad because that's kind of what you would rely on to get information. So
yeah, it is.
Yeah, and so what do you think about the debunkers, the people that sort of don't buy into any of this?
Well, you know, they have their thing. Everybody needs a gimmick, I guess. The debunker that they hired to close down the Stargate project, which was the last name that I knew about for the remote viewing unit, they hired a statistician and a debunker to evaluate the project. The statistician found out that it was reliable. It was there was actually something going on that the information provided was fairly accurate, even though all they looked at was our practice sessions, because they were not allowed to look at anything classified. So they looked at our practice sessions, and the statistician showed that everything was above board, was valuable for the intelligence effort and all that. The debunker wound up by saying that they should at least postpone this, any use of it for intelligence purposes, until the science of statistics could get its act together.
Well,
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
How dumb can you be?
Yeah. Well, there's usually some sort of agenda behind stupid statements, you know?
Yeah.
Usually. Well, let's talk about how about telling people how they can get a hold of you, or what if they need to communicate with you and stuff. Do you have like a site and place people can go?
Yes, I do. The website is crviewer.com, and it is the first and oldest website about controlled remote viewing. As soon as it became declassified, I started a website because I saw all this misinformation going out, and also I started a website. So it's the first website that was formed on controlled remote viewing. And we have questions and answers. We have all kinds of explanatory pages. We have analogies that show the theory behind it. And we also have around 400 now, around 400 practice targets that people can just, you know, bring them up and try them, see how they do. And there is no tracking of who does it. There's no, you know, there's no cookies put on anybody's computer. It's one of those things where if you do poorly, nobody knows, and if you do well, hey, you have complete bragging rights to anybody you want. But it has a lot of free information and a lot of things for you to practice and try. It also has our contact information, and I like to tell people that our my email, I get at least 100 to 150 email a day. There's no way I can keep up. And that if they want to contact me, first of all, make the email very short and to the point, and I will get to it as soon as I possibly can.
Yeah, I know the feeling. So, and also I've been going through your Seventh Sense book. And
yeah.
I'm going to recommend people to get that. It's a very, very good book. And we're going to also post all of this on our website and on the Facebook. And people can connect up with you.
Good. All right.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, is there more that you want to go into, or some area that I've missed?
No, that's very good. I think you covered things very well, and I appreciate the questions that you asked, rather than just tell me about the military history, tell me about, you know, the same old questions. You're a good interviewer. I like that.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate the compliment. That's nice. Okay. Well, so what we do, I'll send you the ad as soon as the ad's created.
Okay.
And so you'll get that. And then the date that it'll run. And then when we run it, what we do is we take all of the questions we get for about 2 weeks. And we compile kind of the five most popular. And I'll send them to you. And
okay.
If you answer them, what we do is then we post them on Facebook as well as the website.
All right, good.
So it's kind of a way of being a little bit interactive, you know.
Good. Thank you very much.
No, it's good. Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it. And
Okay. Perhaps
we can do it again.
Good. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, you have yourself a good day.
You too.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of the ZTalk Radio Network.
I'll be back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.